Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And yes, I am live in studio today. I hope you enjoyed the last couple of days as we featured Rankin Wilborn. The reason we did that, of course, is his book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, is the resource of the month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I interviewed Rankin Wilborn in my Hank Unplugged podcast. You can find that on the web at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. One of the action steps that you can take, of course, is to go to iTunes and give the podcast a 5-star rating. That will get the podcast into the hands of many, many more people, or maybe more aptly put, bring it to the ears of many, many more people all around the world. And the kinds of reviews that this podcast is getting are very, very heartening. Charles says, "So interesting. Hank never ceases to find great people to have unbelievably deep conversations with that are so interesting. This is a must listen. Love smart, godly folk. Truth seeking," says Joshib. He says, "I've been seeking the truth of God since 1988, and Hank has helped light that path in a most amazing way." Again, the podcast you can find at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcast. I also have a very special announcement, and that is we have a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who subscribe. This is a subscription-only magazine. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write for a subscription, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll go to the calls in just a few moments. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I do want to say something about the cover story of this current edition of the Christian Research Journal, hot off the press. It is now available for your consumption. But the cover story is titled "Seeing Red: The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope." Seeing Red: The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope. It was written by Megan Allman. And again, it is the feature story in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. This is Hulu's Handmaid's Tale that you can find in a television series. You can also find it in book form. And quite frankly, in the Hulu version, it is difficult to watch. Why? Because it plucks biblical themes and passages out of context and then twists Christianity so that it seems not only less familiar to those that know the Bible, but it seems absolutely grotesque and hideous. So it is a, quite frankly, a mock of the biblical worldview, which I find highly ironic in that The Handmaid's Tale seeks to make fun of the Christian worldview by supposing that Christianity, drawn to its logical conclusion, would reduce women to the status of mere chattel or commodities of corrupt and conniving men. And so women are depicted as either ornaments or servants. And the undercurrent of the series is that Christianity must succumb to feminism or else society will lose all the gains it has achieved through abortion rights and sexual freedoms. Ironically, and I mean ironically, devotees find themselves rooting for the very things that rob them of self-worth and dignity. So here you are rooting for evil, quite frankly. Women who choose home over office, well, they're reduced to leeches on modern society. They're not real women. They are real leeches. In reality, however, says Megan Ullman in the feature story in the Christian Research Journal, the desire to earn status is pushing more young women to put off marriage, to put off childbearing until their biological clocks begin running out. Statistics show, and these are real hard facts, they show that between 1970 and 2015, it's only 3 years ago now, the average age a woman delivered her first baby increased from 21 years of age to nearly 30 years of age. The most commonly stated reasons? Career and finances. But what about the consequences? The consequences include an infertility pandemic. And the solution of choice? Artificial reproductive technologies. The true handmaidens of today are not women who buy into a Christian worldview. Rather, they are women who have become middle-class surrogates, wombs for rent, who undergo draconian fertility treatments in order to produce copious eggs. And of course, the eggs are worth something. Children are reduced to commodities, and elective abortions become the value systems of our new humanity. There are ostensibly only four categories that distinguish the aborted from the adolescents who are, for the moment, considered protective species. I mean, think about that. The adolescents are still, for the moment, considered protective species. But there's a lot of talk about the possibilities of checking out your child after birth to see if that child is worthy of continued life. I mean, this is not by fringe philosophical giants in our epoch of time. No, this is from mainstream people who are saying maybe we ought to wait till 3 days after birth, and then we can determine value a whole lot better than we do now. But for the moment, they are still considered protective species. So, if an unborn child is aborted just 2 minutes before they're birthed, that's okay, but 2 minutes after, it's not okay. That's the current ethic of our culture. But anyway, there are ostensibly only four categories that distinguish the aborted from the adolescents that I'm talking about here. And what are these four categories? You can remember them by the acronym SLED. Size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. You can find this in the article. So you got to read the article because all this information, you can get it, you can read it, and you can remember it because you need to remember this information. But abortion on demand quite obviously puts the fate of unborn people and the born people of tomorrow into the hands of those who are more powerful than they are. In other words, welcome to survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. As we read in the article, and I mean, again, it's a fantastic article, Megan Allman, she says, the right to unlimited abortion on demand flows in part from a desire for sex without consequences. Where sexual freedom becomes the fulcrum of society, individuals are commodified. Human beings, especially women, are reduced to products to be enjoyed at the whim and the passions of others. Of course, you think, well, that might be overstating it, Megan. Maybe you ought to back off a little bit. But no. As Megan points out, look at multi-billion-dollar pornography industry. And look at the people who are elevated in this industry, like Hugh Hefner. He's a cultural icon. You could not imagine the worship that took place at his funeral. I mean, and this by very credible cultural icons themselves. So says Megan, as the train barrels unchecked down the proverbial track, increasing insistence on self-determined gender fluidity is defining women out of existence. Not only women, but men as well. It's a trajectory that doesn't threaten the loss of women's rights, but the loss of women altogether. As womanhood is redefined by whomever is holding the cultural microphone. True Christianity, in comparison, is, as Megan points out, a far better story. In other words, true Christianity, not the caricature of Christianity, but true Christianity, far, far better narrative. It doesn't create societies such as that depicted in dystopian novels. Why? Because it recognizes that while human beings have attributed value according to their diverse attributes and abilities, they are ultimately equal because of a shared intrinsic dignity. There is so much worthy of note in this article. Megan Allman did an incredible job with this article. But I think it's so important because, again, and I alluded to this, if you read the book, and particularly if you look at the television series, you find yourself rooting for evil. And that is the epitome of evil. And that's the difference between good fiction and bad fiction. In bad fiction, you find yourself rooting for evil. And that's precisely what happens. And why? Because the caricature of Christianity is so pervasive that a liberal liberalism and illicit Islam have the same enemy. It is to root out Christianity. Because Christianity is seen as the boogeyman. And this series simply underscores the caricature. And that's why it's so critical that articles like this appear in the Christian Research Journal. It's about teaching my people to think instead of swallowing the Kool-Aid. I've heard all too many Christians say, this is really good. They might have this kind of scratchy underpinning, something's not quite right here, but they don't know what it is. The article will help you discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, and that's precisely what the Christian Research Journal is designed to do. It is equipping you in doctrine and discernment. If you have not subscribed, consider remedying that woeful condition by going to the web at equip.org and subscribing online today. This is not only a must-read article, but a must-read journal. This is a very unique oracle available in the world today. There's so much more that I could say about it, but time does not permit. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. Numerically, 888-275-4265. And yes, I am live in studio today. The last two shows were based on my interview with Rankin Wilburn. You can check that out again on the web at equip.org in the podcast form, or go back and listen to the broadcasts. You can find them on the web at equip.org. I want to thank all of you that make possible this ministry by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. To God be the glory. And we'll be right back with more.
While millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they do not adequately know Him. Their spiritual walk remains little more than a cold intellectual assent to tidy packets of rational propositions, rather than a daily transformational experience of Christ that fuels a joyful life and dynamic witness. If this describes your situation, be sure to read Pastor Rankin Wilburn's remarkable book, Union with Christ: The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ: The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you.
In the book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, "Our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our heads and our hearts, or between our beliefs and our experiences?" Don't miss Pastor Wilburn's Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and a reminder that The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard, Understanding How God Changes Lives, also available for those who support the ministry all this month. And this is a book that I'm very excited about. It's a book that I've read many times. If you look at my copy, it has been underlined in quite a number of different colors, with pen, with pencil. There are all kinds of notes in it. I mean, I think this is a great book, particularly in an epoch of time in which many, many Christians think that, well, their Christian faith can be relegated to just things that they think rightly. In other words, they think that Christianity can be reduced to believing right things about God. But believing right things about God, as important as that is, doctrine matters, could never ultimately change how you respond in the game of life. Responding well in the game of life requires discipline. I could never do what one of my colleagues can do very, very well, and that is play the piano. So if you put me out on a stage with a baby grand and expect me to perform on that stage, I will utterly fail. And the exact same thing is true for the Christian who meets a pressing circumstance but has not disciplined his passions to meet that circumstance. What has happened in our culture is an overreaction. We've seen bad asceticism, and so we got rid of asceticism. We've seen bad monastic practices, and so we've got rid of monastic practices. That's not the solution. The solution is to understand the spirit of the disciplines. Look, if Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, could practice the disciplines, and I remember what he did when he went into the desert before the temptation. Solitude, time with his heavenly Father in prayer, and then the temptation. Paul practiced the disciplines. He not only outlined them, but he practiced them. Same thing, by the way, is true with the full armor of God. You can memorize the full armor of God, or you can know what the full armor of God represents so that you can apply the full armor of God in practical everyday living. So many people are wondering, why is it that I fail on the stage of life? To go back to the piano illustration, why is it that I fail on the stage of life? Well, if you don't practice the disciplines, you cannot perform, and you cannot experience the euphoria that comes from performing well on the stage of life. So disciplines are absolutely crucial. If it's true that you have to exercise disciplines to become a good golfer, how much more to become God's representative on this planet? So again, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God's Changes Lives by Dallas Willard. It is a classic. It is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And I can't say enough about the Christian Research Journal, the award-winning magazine, hot off the press. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. You'll be doing yourself a favor. You'll also be doing everyone that comes into contact with you a favor, because you'll have something to say that is very, very meaningful in the epoch of time in which we live. A Facebook question by Vita K. Hello, Hank. I have a question regarding a vegan diet, or a vegan diet, however you pronounce that word. Is it okay for us Christians to be vegan or even vegetarians? It's difficult for me to digest meats. I've discovered that it's best and easiest for me to eat a vegan diet. And I have to tell you, I feel great. But my mother-in-law and my father-in-law do not agree with me and tell me that it is against the scriptures that we don't eat certain foods. In other words, if you abstain from certain foods, you're violating the scriptures. This morning I read 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, and would like to know your thoughts on whether or not this passage is about this particular issue on eating or consuming a vegan diet. Thank you in advance. In him, Vita K. You know, that passage, if you're not familiar with it, says that false teachers are forbidding people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Now, Paul, in this passage, quite evidently, is not warning against voluntary abstinence. Indeed, abstinence in the proper context can be a very, very good thing. We're, of course, currently in the midst of a great Lent. This is a time in which Christians are participating in fasts of various kinds, and they're doing that to prepare their hearts and their minds for the greatest feast of the Christian calendar. I'm talking, of course, about Holy Week, which culminates in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the context of Paul's letter here to Timothy, therefore, false teachers were forwarding this idea that aspects of God's creation, including sex and food, were intrinsically bad, and thus Christians should not partake. The reality, however, is that God saw all that He made, and it was very good. And sex within marriage, as well as the eating of any food without gluttony, is perfectly acceptable. It's one of those great delights that God has given us. Used properly, it is fantastic. And while it is not against Scripture to abstain from certain foods voluntarily, it most certainly is contrary to the teaching of Scripture to forbid certain foods. Because Paul goes on, and when he writes, he's not just saying what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 5, but he goes on to explain that everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. And Jesus, of course, said that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile that person because it doesn't go into the heart but into the stomach and then out of the body. Jesus' point is that food is not the source of moral defilement. Rather, moral defilement comes from the heart, and it was Christ's teaching that grounded the development of the disciples' later understanding that Gentile Christians were not required to observe traditional Jewish dietary laws. So, in answer to Vita's question, and it is a vital question, if you are on a vegan diet for the right reasons, I think it is fantastic, and it is not in any way in opposition to what Scripture teaches. Let's go to the phone lines. Deborah in Clarksburg, West Virginia, listening on the web. Hi, Deborah.
I wanted to know, is there a Scripture in the Bible that says that one-third of the angels came down from heaven and went with Lucifer when he was cast down?
Yeah, you can look at Revelation chapter 12, and it will give you this information on which you can make a proper theological deduction.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 12, I think it's verse 4.
Okay, I will look it up. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carrie in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Carrie.
Oh, hi, Hank. Calling again. I was calling because we're doing a book study right now at my church and on Origen and, anyway, so the question came up about the creation story, and then they were all saying, oh, well, my pastor and the others were all like, oh, I didn't know there was two creation stories. And I was just like, what? And I'm the youngest one there. Everyone else are seniors. And I was looking at all of them like, what do you mean there's two creation stories? So I want to know if that's correct or not, or if chapter two is more of I guess, elaboration of chapter one.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Chapter one presents a three-level hierarchy of God's creative prowess, and it's memorably associated with the days of the week. And in contrast, in chapter two, you have a focus on the crowning jewels of God's creation, obviously man and woman, and they're designed to be in right relationship with both creation and the Creator. So this is not two stories, but an elaboration in one chapter on the former chapter. So the whole idea that you have two different creation stories is a canard that has been successfully used in the culture to take the very first chapters of the Bible and marginalize those chapters so that in the narrative you can't trust the rest of the Bible, because if the foundation is flawed, the rest of the Bible will be flawed as well.
Thank you so much, Hank. That's what I said, and they all looked at me like I was from another planet or something. So I thank you so much for your wisdom, and I always feel better after I talk to you, because I'm like, okay, I was right. Okay.
Well, it was great talk to you, and we are coming up to station break, but I would leave you with the thought that it's highly unlikely that an author, particularly an author with the literary prowess of a Moses, would contradict himself within the span of several sentences, or even within the span of a couple of chapters, given the sophistication of the literary genres employed by Genesis. You're immediately alerted to a deeper purpose within the narrative. So rather than mining Genesis for all its wealth, fundamentalist fervor seems bent on forcing the language into a literalistic labyrinth from which nothing but nonsense can emerge. We'll be right back. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Nothing is more basic or central to knowing and enjoying God than union with Christ. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the very heart of the Christian faith and what makes the gospel good news. Yet, if you asked most people today, what is the gospel? Union with Christ is likely not what springs to mind. Something is terribly amiss. Be sure to read Rankin Wilborn's essential book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll be right back.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. In his remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, of all the good news the gospel brings, the greatest, and indeed the door to all the rest, is that you can be united to Christ. And if Jesus has joined his life to yours, then you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. But unless you are united to him, all that he has done for you remains useless and of no value to you. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from, Dorothy Sayers, and I actually found it in the article. She read The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope by Megan Ullman. That's a cover story, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Quote of the day, again, quoted by Megan Ullman, but it is Dorothy Sayers that she's quoting, a highly celebrated English atheist and poet. Easy for me to say. Anyway, here's the quote of the day. Perhaps, says Dorothy Sayers, perhaps it is no wonder that women were first at the cradle and last at the cross. They had never known a man like this man. There had never been such another. A prophet and teacher who never nagged at them, who never flattered or coaxed or patronized, who never made arch jokes about them, never treated them as either the women, God help us, or the ladies, God bless them, who rebuked without querulousness and praised without condescension, who took their questions and arguments seriously, who never mapped out their sphere for them, never urged them to be feminine or jeered at them for being female, who had no axe to grind and no uneasy male dignity to defend, who took them as he found them and was completely unselfconscious. It'll be up on the web shortly at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Brad in Florence, South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I've got two questions for you. I was brought up pretty much in the more, I don't know proper way to say it. I'm in seminary now at a Baptist seminary, but I'm seriously considering joining the Anglican Church, and I'm very intrigued by it, and I thoroughly appreciate everything about it. However, there's two things that's sort of clogging me up, and I'm hoping you might be able to help me out. In the Book of Common Prayer, whenever it's talking in there about the confessions, and it goes, you know, after the, you know, person, you know, confesses his sin, the priest at that time says, you know, by the authority granted to the church, you've been pardoned of your sins. I've got a question about that. I thought that was kind of what the Reformation was about. That was a huge deal. It sounds more Roman Catholic than it does Protestant. That's the first question. Second question is, whenever Jesus, it says, ascended into hell, where do we draw that from? I know that's been a debate for years, and I'm trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, in terms of the first part of your question, remember Anglicanism is an offshoot of Roman Catholicism. So if it sounds somewhat like Roman Catholicism, there's a reason for that. But the forgiveness of sins can be done on the basis of the authority of Jesus Christ, and that's all the church is doing in that case. They are not the ones that absolve someone's sins, but they're doing that on the basis of a proclamation or a paradigm that is already given to us by the Lord. So we're arbiters of that which the Lord has already set forth as a precedent. In terms of the descending into hell, I've written about this in various forums, but the essential problem here from my perspective is a misunderstanding of hell, Gehenna, and Hades. Gehenna and Hades are both Greek words. Hades has a Hebrew equivalent, Sheol. But the idea here is that there is a distinction biblically, or at least there should be a distinction biblically, between Hades and Gehenna. If you read Revelation chapter 20, there's a time where death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And I think that distinction has oftentimes been missed. And so to say that Jesus Christ went to Hades and took those who were held captive to the throne room of God would not in any way be against the scriptures, although there are different interpretations of that passage. But the idea that Christ went to hell would not be biblical, and particularly the way in which it's communicated by many in the Word of Faith movement that he actually finished the work of atonement in hell would be decidedly unbiblical.
Okay. All right. Well, that clarifies. I mean, I was making the assumption that, you know, in regards to the church, yes, I do respect the fact they do come from the Catholic Church, and they do have, and I'm fully respectful of that. And I do think that we are on the same page in regards to that. And also in the hell part, I was whenever you make the distinction between the Hebrew and the Greek there, That does make sense. That makes more sense now.
Well, but I think the translational problem is not between the Hebrew and the Greek, but between the Greek and the English. In other words, people take Hades and they read it as hell. And that's where the mistake lies. So what I was pointing out in terms of the Greek language, there are two words. One is Hades, the other is Gehenna. And those should not be confused. Hades is a temporary state. Gehenna is an eternal state. That's why I quoted Revelation 20, where death and Hades are thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death.
All right, so what you're saying is there is a temporary holding spot, then. There is a, I'm trying to think of the word.
Well, that's undisputed, that there is a temporary state, an intermediate state. There most certainly is. So when you die today, you're absent from the body, and you're either in torment or you're being comforted in the presence of the Lord. That's the way Jesus describes it in Luke chapter 16. So there's an intermediate state, and then when Jesus appears a second time, those who have died in Christ will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. They go through a metamorphosis. Now, everybody will be raised, but not everybody goes through that same metamorphosis. Imperishable, incorruptible.
Okay, so like when he was talking to the thief that was hanging next to him and he told him, today you will be with me in paradise, how did that...
Well, that's exactly...
The intermediate state there?
Well, sure, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When you look at today you'll be with me in paradise, there's two common metaphors that are used for the intermediate state, being in the loving presence of the Lord. One is Abraham's bosom, the other is paradise. But they're both ways of communicating the notion that when you die, your body is buried, but the non-physical aspect of your humanity is being comforted in the presence of the Lord.
Okay. But then, I mean, which I'm in agreement in regards to the, you know, whenever he returns, that's when the body will come back to the soul. Is that a proper...
that is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
So what happens is that the body is resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The soul returns to a body that has undergone, as it were, metamorphosis.
But the ones that have already been, I mean, they never accepted Christ as their Savior. They're just going to stay in the lake of fire.
No, they're resurrected as well. I mean, Jesus said, do not be amazed that there's a time that's coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, some will rise to be eternally condemned. But the resurrection of the righteous is qualitatively different from the resurrection of the unrighteous.
So the unrighteous will remain in a state of torment, eternal.
They will, but they will be resurrected. But what I'm pointing out is their resurrection is qualitatively different from the resurrection of the righteous.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I got you.
Good.
Could you direct me towards one of your books that I might be able to get some more enlightenment on this with? I like your writing.
Yes, I can. I've written about this in Afterlife, although I am myself looking at a different interpretation, a possible different interpretation of 1 Peter 3:18. But anyway, you can get the general idea of what I'm talking about here by reading my book, Afterlife.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Hank, I greatly appreciate your time, and I appreciate what you're doing on the radio.
Thank you. My pleasure. Chris next in Riverside, California, listening on the web. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I got a quick question for you. I've been kind of digging into study more on, you know, the Eucharist or, you know, communion. And I'm just really curious to try to figure out, in terms of historically, what did the church believe as it kind of transitioned from Catholicism to Orthodox to Protestants? Because, you know, now I think most believers kind of just, you know, symbolize it and say, you know, they say this represents the body, this represents the blood. But, you know, when the Reformation started, I think Luther still believed in transubstantiation, and you know, obviously the Roman Catholics still do, and I don't know exactly what the Orthodox Church believes, but can you just kind of take me through that and maybe point me to some good resources to help me better understand that?
Yes. This is a big subject, but the basics with respect to the subject are these, that up until the time of the Reformation, all Christians unanimously believed that when you partook of Holy Communion, the Mass, Eucharist, whatever name you want to use for it, you were partaking of the real presence of Christ, that this was really the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Western Church explained it. The Eastern Church did not attempt to explain it. In fact, Luther didn't attempt to explain it. When he was challenged on this idea that this was the real presence of Christ by Zwingli, and Zwingli asked him, how could this possibly be? How could this be the real body and blood of Christ? Luther said, look, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the elements. So I wish I could elaborate on this, but I simply don't have time. It's a very important subject. I'm writing on it as we speak. In terms of good resources, hang on. We'll see if we can put you in touch with some good resources in this regard. But yeah, I mean, the church unanimously believed up until the Reformation, and actually through the first part of the Reformation with Luther, that this was the real presence of Christ, and that when you're partaking of it, you're partaking of not merely bios, but zoetic energy. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And again, my thanks to all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, and we have some fantastic resources available for you there.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.